Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
If you have a Bible, go to the book of 2 Peter. I'm going to spend a little time in Peter, 2 Peter this morning. My guess is that after you are done here at church, you will go somewhere and you will find something to eat. You will gather at your own house, or you will gather someplace, you'll have some friends, but in general, we will gather someplace and devour much food, because that just sort of tends to be the thing that happens with church people after church. I don't know what it is about sermons or pews, but it just makes us hungry. And so we go and we partake of the food. And it's generally very good food, very abundant supplies of food. And it's very hearty and very well prepared. And you'll sit around and just enjoy the food and the fellowship and the very hearty meal. But you are also aware of the fact that at the same time you enjoy that meal and you get your fill of good food, you also realize that you may have to have another meal before you come back here next Saturday, right? So that's not your last meal until you come back till next Sabbath, when we actually have potluck and you could eat again. No, you're going to eat again sometime between now and next Sabbath for sure. Because as good and as hearty and as fulfilling and as filling as that meal was, it's not going to last until next week, right? For your children, it won't even last for like an hour. They'll be like, I'm hungry. And that's just the way it goes. So spiritually, in the same sense, we like you to come to church. And we want you to come to church and get your fill of spiritual food. And we pray that it is abundant and that it's filling and that it's hearty and that the fellowship and the people that you eat it with are good. But we also recognize the fact that this spiritual food will not last until next Saturday, right? In other words, God's ideal for spiritual life is such that you're going to eat again, and you're going to eat again before the next time you walk through the doors of this church. In fact, you're going to have ongoing meals throughout the week, because spiritual life, in the same vein as physical life, demands some sustenance, man. Right? It demands that we eat and that we have our spiritual food, and that because of that spiritual food, then we can experience the growth that God wants us to experience. And so for the next couple of weeks, I want to take just a section of scripture out of 2 Peter and invite you to think about what God intends for us to experience in terms of spiritual growth. Because I think Peter, more than anybody else perhaps, and even in the New Testament, really encourages this idea of growth. He encourages us to come closer to God, to know God, to, as he puts it in 2 Peter, says, experience the true knowledge of God. And so that's what I hope we'll begin to take a look at. Read with me just another section of 1 Peter. We're going to be in 2 Peter, but read this from 1 Peter. And if you would, read this with me, just out loud. 1, 2, 3. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So there's that idea already captured in 1 Peter 2:2 about this idea of growing, of taking in some good spiritual food so that you grow. Then he says again, 1, 2, 3, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Hold on, not everybody's participating. 1, 2, 3, but grow in the grace, there's our church, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And I just think that Peter captures this as he speaks to an audience. Get this, he's speaking to an audience of people who are somewhat under spiritual attack. They're coming under attack from false teachers, and people are challenging what they believe. So Peter comes along, and he's trying to encourage them to remain faithful, but he wants them to remain faithful at a very deep level. And so he encourages them to grow and don't just become stagnant, because if you become stagnant, you become vulnerable to all these crazy teachings from false teachers that can come in and mess your whole life up. So he challenges them to make sure that they grow. Now, this is the section of Scripture that I want us to look at a little bit more closer, and it's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 is what we're going to look at very quickly this morning. It says this, Simon Peter, you don't have to read with me, I'll go through it real fast, but follow with me. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Pause for just a moment. He is talking to other believers. He's talking to Christians, people who have received or accepted Christ as their Savior. And now he says, now that you've become a believer, there's also growth as a believer. There's sort of this idea, now you got to live and be and become a certain way. So he's talking to these folks who have the same faith. They're of the same faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's just a little glimpse into the gospel. How is it that you have become saved, if you will? How is it that you have become a Christian? Well, because of the righteousness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's all because of what he's done, not what you have to do. So don't get the impression that as I encourage you to grow, that this growth is going to be something that you do on your own. No, it's actually something that God begins to do within you. Christ, through his Spirit, begins to grow you and mature you. And we're going to get into that next week a little bit more. But that's what he's talking about here. He says, the Savior, Jesus Christ, and he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is pretty cool here. I kind of like this. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Do you want more grace? Absolutely, man. Do you want more peace? No question about it. In the day and age in which we live, want more grace. I want more peace. And what Peter seems to be getting at is that more grace and more peace is a reality for the believer who begins to understand this idea of this this true knowledge of Jesus Christ. More grace, more peace. He used the word multiplied. Now, there's a reason I was a theology major in school, and that's because I couldn't do math. But even I could. That was a joke. You're supposed to laugh a little bit. Lighten up, people. But even I can get the fact that multiplication is a lot more powerful of a picture than addition, right? Because 10 plus 10 is... But 10 times 10 is, So even in that simple way, I believe that Peter is suggesting that as you come to a real knowledge, true knowledge of Jesus Christ, that there's something that is going to begin to happen that will multiply, increase in abundance this idea of grace and peace. In other words, there's a reason why Christians are gracious. There's a reason why we extend grace to those around us. It's not because it's written in the handbook of what it means to be a Christian. It's because on the inside of you, you have not only experienced grace through what Jesus has done for you, but you know that because you have been given such grace, you must extend grace to those around you. See, people don't have a real good understanding of what's been done on their behalf and the grace that's been shown to them, have a hard time extending grace to other people. They become judgmental and they become proud and arrogant and religious and annoying. But those who get it, who understand that what was done for them is purely by the grace of God, can't help but extend grace to those around them. And peace, man. Peace in a crazy world where it seems like every other week we're having these massive earthquakes. Peace where it seems like if you watch the news at all. There's some awful crime, some terrible thing that has happened. And even in the midst of all the craziness and the chaos of a culture that seems to be really crazy, there's a deep sense of peace. You're not aloof and you're not, out of touch, but there's peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So that's a cool thing, that's a powerful thing that Peter begins to bring out here and says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Now that's sort of a critical point here. Let me finish 2 Peter 1, 1-4, and then I'll go back to that. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. We won't get into that today, but we'll get to it. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now let me go back here to this idea of true knowledge. Peter begins to talk about this idea of true knowledge, and he's going to tell us that it is this true knowledge that really takes us to a whole new spiritual experience. It's the thing that multiplies grace and peace within our lives. And this word is the word gnosis, or actually it's epigenosis. Say that with me. Epigenosis. It's in the Greek, is called epigenosis. You know, the word gnosis is where we get the word knowledge from. And so that's how it's translated here. It's the true knowledge. But this word that is used, that Peter uses, epigenosis. And this is really cool. This is the idea behind behind epigenosis. And this is what begins to really change our experience from just being sort of a normal experience to being something really, really powerful as we experience God. The true knowledge, epigenosis. Epigenosis was the idea that not only did you understand something, not only do you have a knowledge of the information and you understand it, but you really believed it. You really believed it. I need something to stand on. I got it. So this is the idea with epigenosis. Epigenosis, or gnosis, or knowledge, means you get it and you understand it in the Bible. Epigenosis means that you are willing to stand up on it and for it. Epi actually means upon. It means upon. So it's this true knowledge of God that is such that it is taken within, and you begin to not only understand it, but you believe it, and it dramatically impacts your life. It becomes an experience then with a God who you've been drawn into knowing. It's to capture the spirit of, here you go, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., for example. Do you believe that Dr. Martin Luther King understood racial discrimination? Do you believe that he not only understood racial discrimination, but he believed that it was wrong and that he should fight against it? No question about it. Why? Because towards the end of his life, he was willing to give his life for the deeply held belief that discrimination, that prejudice, that inequality was absolutely wrong. He didn't just have an understanding of it. He just didn't know it to be untrue and to be wrong. He believed it, and it deeply moved him to act and to do and to be and to ultimately pay the price. And so he would give these words towards the end of his life. This was his last speech. He's speaking to striking sanitation workers. You've probably heard it before, but it captures this idea of epigenosis, not just understanding, knowledge, but belief that is deeply held, that you're not willing just to say you know, but you're willing to stand up for, even at the risk that somebody might knock you down. And so he says, Well, I don't know what will happen now. This is an eerie speech because the next day he'd be shot down on the balcony of a hotel, the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. He said, well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountaintop. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy to, and he says, I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Whoa. Do you think he understood? Yeah, he certainly understood. But what's more powerful is that he deeply believed. And it moved him to give everything, to stand upon that true knowledge of God, regardless of what would happen to him. And so what Peter is saying is that believers have to move beyond mere understanding. They have to move beyond mere acknowledgement of the realities of God in the Scripture. And they have to move toward deep belief in. And that changes everything. That changes how you approach this life, that it changes how you approach other people. It changes how you do everything. And essentially what Peter is going to tell us is that is when we have moved from being natural people to being spiritual people. From being infants to becoming mature. From a very superficial spiritual life and experience with God that really is only about me and consumer Christianity. I went off on some consumer Christianity in my Sabbath school this morning, by the way. I'm just going to digress and go ahead and do it now, too. They're all worried. Don't be worried. It wasn't mean. But consumer Christianity those are the people who church hop. All right? And I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes, but some of y'all are church hoppers. Some people hop around to a church and just to see what they can get out of it. Who's preaching over there? What are they doing over there? Now, I'm not talking about you guys who visit churches and you come every now and then to see your friends and the fellowship. That's cool. But some of y'all know that you just hop around to churches just for the fun of it, just to see what you can get out of it. That's consumer Christianity that bugs me. I won't tell you what I told them in my Sabbath school because that's just mean. But you move from consumer Christianity to begin to engage and enjoy and love fellowship with the believers in your home church. You begin to move away from this sort of selfish pursuit of what I can get out of it to begin to say, how can I sacrifice and give to it, for it? You hear me? So that's what Peter is going to challenge us with. And this was so critical. Remember, this is critical because he's talking to a group of believers who are being challenged on every front. And they got false teachers that are coming in to say, you know, so what do you understand about this and this and this? And he's saying, no, get to the true knowledge of God. Begin to move from mere understanding to something much deeper, to where you believe it, where it becomes a part of you, and you begin to live it. And it begins to change your experience. Let me keep going here. This is how the Message Bible puts it. He says, I, Simon Peter, am a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I write this to you whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours, all due to our God's dealing and the intervention of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen, not shallow, deepen in your experience with God and Jesus. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received. We were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. That's kind of cool the way the Message Bible puts it. This idea of deepening our relationship with God. Participating in the life of God. Now, there's another way that we describe this participating in the life of God. I'm going to go back. So, godliness. When a person becomes spiritual, then they begin to pursue godliness. Once, if they're still on the sort of the natural level, if it's just sort of that consumeristic Christianity mentality, it's sort of very self-focused and very natural, it's not very spiritual. They're not pursuing godliness, they're just pursuing religion. Those are the two ways to look at it. But when a person becomes spiritual, they begin to pursue godliness. And what he says right here, he says, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything. This right here says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Pertaining to life and godliness. In other words, God has given us everything that we need in order to live a life of godliness. In order to do life in such a way that it would please God, not please me. That it would please God and not please others. That's godliness. When I begin to pursue God's glory, not anybody else's and not my own. He calls that godliness. But notice what he says. He says, you've already been given everything. He's saying you've been given everything. How many times do we go through our spiritual lives and say, boy, I wish I had more of this. I wish I had a clearer purpose. I wish I had more power. I wish that I had more faith. Or I wish that I had all this spirituality and godliness. And what does Peter say? He says, you already got it. You already got it. In our house, my wife does most of the grocery shopping. All the grocery shopping. Be honest, preacher. So she does all the grocery shopping. But occasionally, I will go to the store. Why? Well, because I was at the house, and it's one of those times when she's not there and I have to cook or something, which is a scary, scary thing. And I go looking through the cupboards, and men don't look for things as well as women do. That's the first amen I had all? No. There's a lot of truth to that. So since we don't look as well as the ladies do, we go, oh man, we're out of this. I thought she bought this. Now I got to run to the store. So I run to the store and I get what we already have. And when the wife comes home, she says, why'd you go buy that? It's right here. And in 5 seconds, she's found it. Right? Amen. Well, and that's the problem was I didn't know that we had it, and therefore I didn't know where it was, and I couldn't find it. And so the challenge for our spiritual lives is that we don't know what Peter's suggesting. We don't know that God has already given us everything for life and godliness. So what he's going to proceed to do and what I will do next week is go there, begin to talk about where we find it and how it begins to happen within us. Perhaps a good example, and then we'll leave it at this. A good example is you take sperm and an egg, right? Sperm penetrates the egg, and in that moment we call that conception, right? We call that conception. And then we, in about 9 months, we're going to have the full expression of that conception. But in that conception, that baby, that life has everything that it's ever going to need, right? It has everything. We can't fully see it. It's not fully expressed. We can't see arms and legs and eyeballs and hair color and all that stuff yet. We can't see that yet. But in a few months, that mom is going to say, well, I want to go get an ultrasound, right? And you're going to take pictures. You're going to say, oh, look, it's the finger. It's the toes. That's a baby. And the thing that's happening is that there's development that's happening, right? But at conception, everything was present. Everything that it will ever need to have life and to become and to be is already there. You don't have to go out and buy appendages to staple on. Sorry. Right? It's all there. The only thing that hasn't happened is the process of developing and growing. But we'll see that begin to happen over time. So essentially, that's what Peter is telling us, is that you have everything, and it's all there. The challenge becomes, how then does it begin to develop and become a reality in my life? It's like a Mr. Potato Head, which I meant to bring up here. I was going to bring my Mr. Potato Head. I have a cool Darth Vader Mr. Potato Head. Anyway, but Mr. Potato Head, you take everything off him, he's just nothing. But you have everything to make him something pretty cool. In my case, a Darth Vader. So what we'll get into next time is this idea of spiritual development, growth, experiencing the true knowledge of God that begins to take form within you, and you begin to say, I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to be broken by the rock, Jesus, but I'm also going to stand on the rock, the truth of the rock and who he is. And that's where we'll go next time, because we want to grow and mature and develop into who God wants us to be. People who won't waffle, people who won't back away from, but people who fully embrace and live for and become God's people. Let me pray with you. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you that we could be here in this place. And God, I just pray that your word would move in a powerful way upon each and every one of our hearts. And as we go through this what Peter is talking about and how we grow and become, I pray, God, that it would just stir our hearts, and that indeed your spirit would be moving and working and happening. And God, that we would begin to see transformation take place and development and growth as believers in Christ. Thank you, God, for worship. Thank you that we can come to this place and just glorify you. I pray, God, I pray, Father, that your spirit would not only accompany us here, but even as we leave this place, we would continue to worship and honor and love you. May this not be the only meal of the week, God, but may it just be a big meal to start an ongoing relationship with you throughout the week. We thank you, God. We praise you. We honor you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org, or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.